how this happens sometimes, but as you study the Word of God, and I knew last time I preached, I was studying in Philippians and wound up preaching a message out of Timothy. And then I've been studying in Timothy and now preaching a lesson out of my message out of Philippians. But that's the way it works. And I was working on 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and a sound mind. And I got to doing some research on that term sound mind. And this is where I wound up back in Philippians. And what Paul went through and the things that he faced. And if I could give the message a title, it is making the best of a bad situation. Anybody ever been in a bad situation and you wondered what in the world was going to take place, what was going to happen? Let me tell you something, it's not new to the human race. It's not new to Bible characters. You can go back and you study a bunch of those and you find them in situations where it seemed like they're impossible odds of ever, ever seeing daylight at the end of the tunnel. But let me tell you something. One plus God is all it takes to bring about that which is best. Listen to me, that which is best. And that's what we want to look at. So I'll ask you, please, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word. The same God that used Moses' rod, Gideon's pitcher, the jawbone in the hand of Samson, a mere sling in David's hand, is the same God that we serve. And he can use most anything to make his will known and to make people come in subjection to him. Aren't you glad God still uses bad situations? Let's look at the word together. In Philippians 1, starting in verse 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds," and the term there, many other translations, if you have one, has chains, "so that my bonds in Christ," or my chains in Christ, "are manifest in all places and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my chains or bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even unto envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds or chains. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we bow to give you thanks for this day, for the offering you have afforded us of life, for every blessing that you pour out upon us individually and also collectively as a people. We come, Lord, tonight in humility before your throne of grace, thanking you for the privilege we have to come to your throne of grace and to pour our hearts out to you, because, Lord, you've asked us to do that. You've admonished us to do that, even though you know what they are. You've asked us to pray and to pray without ceasing. Lord, tonight I ask that you would just work in the midst of us at this place tonight, in the midst of the people gathered here. We realize this is a unique opportunity, Lord, for you to work in our hearts and our lives. And I pray once again, Lord, that you would take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you would speak to them the truth of your word, the reality of your word, and what you desire to say to us. I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words and your words my words as we look together tonight in your word. I ask, O God, that we would be open and receptive to Your Word and to Your will. And Lord, that our lives will be touched and challenged and changed and commissioned as we leave this place tonight. I ask once again, Father, that You would be with and bless those that are hurting, those that's on our prayer list, those that's on our heart, those, Lord, that are going through the difficult and trying times of life. I pray, God, that You would just minister that which only they stand in need of as You see fit, and You, Lord, receive the glory and the honor and the praise for it. We stand appalled and amazed at how You love us, how You care for us. And Father, tonight we just come to worship You. Would You speak to our hearts as only You can in the strong and powerful and saving and soon coming name of the name above every name, Jesus Christ our Lord, and for His glory. Amen. The chains of the Roman were affixed to bind the Apostle Paul, but they released him. And that's what we want to think about as we look at this. As we look at the comments, and just turn to 2 Timothy. I told you that's where I started this thing out in 2 Timothy. Turn there just a moment. 2 Timothy, book of Timothy. Chapter 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. Look what it says there. It says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but, did you catch that? That's one of those buts that's placed in between two happenings. But the Word of God is not bound. What is Paul relating there? What is he saying for us tonight? When we go through circumstances and things happen in our life and situations arise in our life and we wonder what in the world's going on, I pray that we would recognize and understand that maybe God is wanting to do something or help us to see something that will draw us to Him and for us to recognize His authority in every situation in life. I believe, and this is Marshall Dixon theology, you take it with a grain of salt, but I believe what we stand in need of is not going to come from the White House. Brother IB, I picked up something today. This is a warning for you and for me. Sergeant Gary Stein was dismissed after 9 years of service of Special Forces in the U.S. Marines because he posted on his website that a comment about Obama being a coward and also the economic and religious enemy of the United States. Discharge of his duty. Well, I know we're just not supposed to talk about the president. We're supposed to pray for him. But let me tell you something. We understand because of situations and things that our world is in the problem and the situation it's in because many times the church has fallen and not got itself up and done what God would have it to do. Tonight, as we look at what transpired in the Apostle Paul's life, there are some things that we must recognize first and foremost. The Apostle Paul, as he was chained, those chains that were around him and bound him, he could have complained to God about those. You ever been around Christians who complain, bellyache, gripe all the time because of circumstances? Well, brother, I have. If you ever been in some churches, you'll see why sometimes they do that. But see what happened, the Apostle Paul did not complain about those chains, but what he did, he consecrated those chains to God and for God to take him in those chains and use him for the glory of God. First point, these chains gave Paul contact with the lost. You say, how in the world could that happen? Well, just look at it. He was there, he was chained to Roman soldiers 24/7. They changed the guards every 6 hours. That meant that he had a new one to witness to every he had six during the run of a day. Is that right? Did I do that math right? But see, he had a new congregation for a day. At the end of the month, just think about it, he had a new congregation of people. For a day times 30, what's that, 120 people? That's probably about, I don't know, that might not that many here tonight. But he had a congregation, those he had witnessed to. And the thing about it is, as you see this, just try to imagine yourself chained to a man who prayed without ceasing. You ever thought about that? Those soldiers, as they were chained to the Apostle Paul. Just think about him chained to a man that's writing letters to individuals and churches and instructing them of the things of God and the way of God. And this thing's going to fall off, and I'm going to throw it down in a minute. Get me a nail. But being chained to someone like that, a man whose heart was after the things of God, whose heart was centered on the things of God. And this is why this word that come up, single-mindedness. Because see, the Apostle Paul, he was single-minded about the most important thing in his life, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He says he counts himself as nothing, but he recognized the fullness of God through Christ Jesus and what he can do in our life. He says we can do all things through him. See, as we look at this very close, Paul was contacted and made contact with the lost. Paul, did you know that Paul is credited with, according to history, according to biblical history, he's credited with getting the gospel in the elite Praetorian Guard. How did he do that? By witnessing to those he was confined to, he was chained to. And let me tell you something, he could have never done that as a free man. Do you realize that? He would have never had the opportunity to do that. But see, God can take these circumstances, these things that we think are insurmountable odds, and if we are just patient and consecrate and dedicate ourselves to God, God can work through those things to bring about His will and purpose, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Listen to me. Sometimes God may even put us into a similar situation to see exactly what we're going to do, how we're going to respond. I believe in the life of a child of God, there are no mistakes from a standpoint of what happens to us. I believe there are designed from God, and God uses those things to sharpen us, to shape us, to make us, to mold us, that we may look more like Jesus every day. The second thing as we move along, these chains that Paul was chained with not only gave him the opportunity to make contact with the lost, but it also gave him the opportunity to make contact with the officials in Caesar's court. In Rome, see, As an official resident, as he was, he had the right at this time to come and to give his assessment of what transpired and happened in his life. But see, it was very important because it was going to determine the fate of this new sect called Christianity. He was going to stand and be able to stand and to give an account of the message of the Nazarene and what it made and the impact it made in our lives. See, the world had religion back then. Today, their religion started every day, new religions. Jesus, as I've said before, he did not come to start a religion. He comes so that mankind could have a relationship with Almighty God. That's the reason he came. That's why God loved us. God loved us and he sent his son, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he did something. He gave his only begotten son. He sent him into the world. And as him coming into the world, he identified with the world from a standpoint that he was a human and yet he was divine. And God sent him for the purpose so that mankind could realize that God loved them with an eternal, everlasting, unconditional love. As we recognize Paul and what transpired in his life, he was there to give an account, if you please, the officials of Caesar's court. Was it something new or was it just another sect of Judaism? Was it something new or was it something really worth looking at? And I think as we look at the transformation that takes place in the Apostle Paul's life, he recognized and understood that he must give a real true witness of what's going to take place, and we know that he did. Think for just a moment. Think just for just a moment. What was going on? What was going on in the life and the minds of those guards and also those Roman court officials? See, this was probably discussed out in the street. It was talked about in the street. Sometimes God has to put chains on his people to get them to accomplish his will and purpose. Do you know that? We talk about pioneers and pioneer missions. Do you know what the word pioneer means? When we think about that, when you hear the word pioneer, what do you think of? And I'm not talking about a stereo system either. What do you think about? The term pioneer and what it means, it means the ongoing advancement that could not have happened any other way. And that's what Paul was doing. He was a pioneer to share and relate the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. We think of things. Some of you may question why you're where you are in your job, in your work, or whatever you may be doing. Young mother may be here, and she feels chained to that home as she cares for those children. But God can use those chains to reach people with the message of salvation. A good example of that is you take a Susanna Wesley. She was the mother of 19 children. And let me tell you something, this was back when there wasn't no disposable diapers and there wasn't no dishwashers and there wasn't all these modern conveniences. But she had 19 children. You think about the hectic reality in her life. But yet out of this family came Charles and John Wesley, who shook the British Isles with the message of salvation. Pick up your hymn book. Look at some of the songs they were wrote by some of these men. Because, see, she recognized the responsibility of carrying out the task at hand that God had given to her. Don't ever grumble about your chains. Commit them to God. Let him work through those things. Another good example of this is Fanny Crosby. At the age of 6 weeks, she was blinded. Blind. But as a youngster, she determined with God's help, this blindness was not going to defeat her. That was a chain in her life. But she was not going to be, she said, I'm not going to be chained to the chains of darkness. And pick up your hymn book again. I don't know how many hundreds of hymns she wrote. And there are hymns that if you look at them and you study them, you would say, well, she had to see something. No, she didn't. She visualized what God was going to do and what God could do. Just pick up and read some of those sometime. As we see, that chain in her life was a chain of darkness for her, as many people thought. But she used that. She used that to glorify God. And that's what it's all about, is it not? What is life all about? What is life all about? If I study my Bible correctly and I understand what it says to me, you're here for a purpose, and I'm here for a purpose. We're not an accident. We're here for a purpose, and that purpose is with our very being to glorify God Almighty. The only way you can do that, listen to me, the only way that that can happen is first and foremost, you've got to do as this young man did. You've got to trust Jesus as your Savior. You got to invite him into the confines of your heart. And then let me tell you something. Things will begin to happen if you stay true to God and pray and seek God's word, study his word, seek his will. Let me tell you something. He'll open up avenues and things in your life never before ever thought possible. See, that's the God we serve. We could go back and we could talk about several, use them examples. But see, so many times we look at things as those things that hinder us and hold us back. And what God wants us to do is to consecrate them to him and let him take that and work through it for our glory and his good. The next thing, as we move on hurriedly, there's still another truth here for all of us. I mean for all of us in this. And it's pointed out, look with me there just a moment. if you look back, it's the chains not only gave him contact with the lost, but they also gave courage to the saved. Maybe the believers, many of these believers, if we think about believers in Rome, took a fresh courage when they saw Paul's faith and determination in what God had called him to do. Look back at our text at verse 14 just a moment. It says there, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my chains or bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The word "speak," when we think that and we see the context of this, we think it means preaching. But it's not preaching. It is not preaching. The word, the derivative from the word, means in their daily conversation, in the daily routines of life. And see, this, can't you just imagine the buzz in town as they spoke about this man called Paul, used to be Saul of Tarsus, and what he's trying to relate to the Roman officials as they make a ruling on something that has never been before, and that is the fate of Christianity. We're in a state right now where the fate of Christianity hangs in the balances. Did you know that? Did you know as a church we're only one generation away from paganism? Go up north and you can find monstrosity buildings, churches, covers a square, a whole block. Nobody meets there. You know why? Because they lost sight of who they were and what they were there for. When we lose sight, listen to me, when we lose sight and we focus all our attention on ourselves, we are a dying breed. They focus themselves on making themselves comfortable. And they got so comfortable that they literally died out because they did not evangelize the area where they were. See what transpired. This word means in everyday conversation, it means a boldness to let the word live out of them. If there's anything that needs to happen today, people are not coming to church to hear a sermon. But as you move through society and as you live, they can look at a sermon, they can see a sermon in action. Amen. Ouch, oh me. When we allow the Word of God to live through us, to permeate our lives, so that not only is the Word real, but the will of God is real, and that's the most important thing in life for you and for me as a child of God, is the will of God working out of us. See, as the talk of the town was, the legal concern of the lawmakers, this opened up a door for them to share and relate the Word of God. We have opportunities upon opportunities. We have to be careful. Do you know that? And we're going to have to be more careful later on because things are happening like it is. You won't be able to talk about your salvation, your Christian belief, because our word is wanting to snuff it out if it can. You can talk about God all you want to. You can talk about Confucianism all you want to. You can talk about Buddhism all you want to. You can talk about Islam all you want to, but don't mention Jesus Christ. You're a narrow-minded bigot if you mention him. You're one of those far off to the whatever direction you want to call it. I call it to the right because, let me tell you, that's the only right way there is. He said, Jesus himself said, he was the way, truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. He said, as he spent that time in the garden, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, thine be done." That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why he died, so that he could accomplish the will of the Father and save you and me from a hell and destruction. We'll only trust him. Listen, discouragement has a way of spreading itself. And probably, I'll say probably, it is the greatest tool of Satan. They said that Satan had all his tools for sale. He's going to sell all of them. And they were talking about pricing them out and this, that, and the other. And they put prices on a bunch of them, but come to the one that discouraged says, we want to give that one away free because it'll do more destruction in Christianity than anything else. And that's right, it will. Discouragement. But you know what? A child of God, as we live the way that we should, and our mind be single-minded like the Apostle Paul, let me tell you something. The child of God is one who recognizes and understands that God lives within him, and that should encourage. That's what the term, as we think about enthrone him, as we enthrone him in our life, and we are enthused about him, we share the result of what he's done in our life. That's what single-minded people do. They trust God. They look to him. It has a way of spreading itself to those who have trusted God. That's my question tonight. Have you trusted him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you come to recognize him and what he can do in your life if you'll only put your faith and trust in him? Jesus said, as you come as a little child, realizing that in and of yourself you're nothing, and you'll never be anything apart from him, I'll assure you that. You can live to be 120 years old, and you can live all those life, and it's just mere existing until you come to Jesus Christ. There's a song. I got the words several years ago, and I was going to sing it while I was hackabarney because Miss Ellis, this is one of her favorite songs, is mine as well. And it's a song that has a terrific message in it, because it's dealing with the one we put our confidence in, the one we allow to show in us and to be in us that peace that passes understanding. It's called the heaven of rest. Listen to the words of it.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I enter the heaven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the heaven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off, and I've save. Jesus, I'm safe evermore. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Jesus, I'm safe evermore.
Father, we bow to give you thanks for today. And God, we thank you for that haven of rest. When our soul was troubled and in trouble, you loved us and you come to us and you picked us up out of the miry clay, as the psalmist said, and you put our feet on a